You're listening to Archer Radio.
This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com, the only ordinary queercast on the internet. Today is Monday, August 8th, 2005. I am tired. Oh my God, I'm tired. I had such a busy weekend. It's unbelievable. Of course, on Friday, I did my best to get that show out of the Rufus Wainwright concert, and I know the audio at the beginning sucked, but I didn't feel like fixing it, so I said, fuck it. Let's see. I was going to talk about the weekend and how fucking busy I was. Let's see. On Friday night, I went to the boyfriend's house. Oh, and by the way, this podcast is going to be one of those what I did today kind of podcasts, so if you're bored with that kind of thing or you were hoping for some stimulating conversation on politics or something, then you can skip this one. But I just figured I'm going to talk about the weekend and go with the flow. So I was saying, on a Friday night, I went to the boyfriend's house, and we went out to dinner, nice restaurant called the DC Boathouse. And then we went back to his condo and, you know, did our usual things. Then Saturday morning, we got up and ran some errands and then went shopping because Saturday night I was having a small dinner party. And we had to get all the groceries, and so we did that. And then, of course, I had to clean my house and stuff, so I did that. And then, God, I'm just so tired. Let's see. Oh, the dinner party on Saturday night was actually very interesting. We had another couple over, and the guy, let's just call him M. M is an ex of mine. And from like, 10 years ago, I guess we dated from 95 to 97/98, depending on who you ask. And his current boyfriend, D, let's call him D, and they came over. Well, they got stuck in traffic and they were a little late, but that's no big deal. They came over and I didn't realize it, but, I guess I did, but I just didn't think about it. My current boyfriend dated M after me, so it was kind of strange because it was like, some people could say it like it was be like incestuous because everyone had slept together except for D, M's current boyfriend. So that was kind of strange, and of course M's telling my current boyfriend stories about me and stuff and picking on me about my eating habits, which we already know are terrible. So it was actually fun. I had a good time. I haven't seen M for quite a while, so it was good to see him, and I hadn't seen his boyfriend for a while either, so it was good to get together with them. And we had, of course, I made the boyfriend cook because I'm not a cook, and the boyfriend cooked some delicious chicken cutlets and angel hair pasta. And we had picked out three different wines to go with the meal. M doesn't drink, but D enjoyed the wines with us. So we had, what did we have for our appetizers? I guess it was a Sauvignon Blanc. And then we had, it's called Victorian White, but that's the name of the wine from the winery Grey Ghost. But it's basically a white table wine that we had with salad. And then we had a Chardonnay for the main meal, the main course. And then for dessert, we had a really, really sweet dessert wine where you only need like a tiny little bit in your glass to enjoy with whatever you're having for dessert. And the boyfriend made a blueberry? I guess it was a blueberry cobbler. I didn't eat any of it because I don't like blueberries. So, but it was very good. And, of course, we got a little tipsy. Well, the boyfriend and I did, but D didn't, and M doesn't drink, so. But it was actually really, really good to see them and hang out with them and catch up on what's going on in their lives. And, of course, we talked politics and education, and we were talking education because, well, I said this wasn't going to be a stimulating conversation podcast, but on Saturday, the boyfriend and I had read in the Washington Post that D.C. public schools, their test scores were their test scores came out, and it was interesting because they were happy that their elementary test scores went up, but their high school test scores went down. But here's why they were happy. Well, I mean, they were happy because the test scores, which is a strange way to be, I mean, it's a strange reason to be happy, because their test scores went up to the 50th percentile, meaning that 50% of the elementary kids passed the test they're supposed to pass. Now, I don't think that's really anything to be happy about. If only 50% of your kids are passing, that means 50% of your kids are failing. D.C. public schools have got to be the worst schools probably in the nation. And they're consistently bad, you know, year after year. And no matter how many times they change superintendents or whatever, they have terrible test scores. And people have a hard time admitting the truth. They always like to blame somebody for the poor test scores. And usually the teachers take the brunt of that. But nobody takes into account the actual population of the students. Now, maybe I'm getting into an area that I shouldn't, but let's just look at this for a minute. If you have the same population of students year after year, and they consistently score bad, no matter how many new programs you introduce or how many new teaching techniques you introduce, but they still continue to score poorly, what is the problem there? Is it the teachers and the teaching, or could it be the students? Now, I know that that's coming from an educator, that's probably a bad thing to say, but don't you think that at some point students and their parents need to take responsibility for their education and don't leave it 100% on the backs of the teachers and the education system? Everybody thinks that it's always the schools, it's always the teachers, it's always the, you know, the teaching techniques. Well, when all those things continuously change and the students don't, what does that tell you? I was thinking about that a lot, and I'm thinking it has a lot more to do with the students than people want to admit. So anyway, at the dinner party, we had quite a discussion about that and what you're willing to believe and what needs to be changed and stuff like that. And that always generates, you know, quite the discussion with people who are in the education field. So, because I just don't think we admit to ourselves that, well, of course, in any education system, nothing ever fails, it just goes away. So, for example, if a program isn't doing well, you would never admit to it failing. You just quietly let that program die, and you start a new program. And also in the education field, you never, it's like the same things come back again and again. It's cyclical. You know, whatever was working in the 70s came back in the 90s, and I shouldn't go into this. It's too complicated to talk about, but because it's useless. Nothing ever comes of it. But anyway, I was talking about the weekend. I was going to continue on with the weekend. So anyway, the dinner party was very nice, and we had some great discussions, delicious food, great wines, great company. It was very good. We had a very good time. So we'll have to do that again in the future. So then the boyfriend and I decided that our Sunday was free, so we looked at our little wine books, because, you know, we're big winery freaks, and we mapped out the course to visit four wineries yesterday on Sunday, and we started out around noon, and these four were out in Leesburg, Virginia, because last week on Thursday, we visited three of them, and there's 11 wineries in Loudoun County, and we visited three on Thursday, and we visited four on Sunday. And I tell you one thing, I have to stop spending so much money on wine, because I bought six bottles of wine at four different wineries, and the other thing, too, is I have to expand my wine rack, because I don't have enough space to put all these bottles. I'm also collecting the logo glasses from each winery, so now I have probably, I don't know, 25 or 30 glasses from different wineries. I'm either going to have to stop doing that or get some kind of case or something to hold them, because they're taking over my kitchen, the wine glass rack that I already have. So anyway, we went to this one winery called Wyndham Winery, or Wyndham Vineyards. I forget which one it's called, what its exact name is. But first of all, the boyfriend and I, as we were driving out there, because it was about an hour drive out there, we were setting ourselves up to not be disappointed if the wineries don't live up to our expectations, because we had our expectations dashed on Thursday when we visited those three wineries that were already out there. One was fine, the other two sucked. So we thought, well, then these can't be any much better than the ones we saw on Thursday. So we did not have high expectations. But the first one we went to, Wyndham Winery, we were actually very surprised. The facility was beautiful. All of their wines tasted delicious. We, of course, did a tasting. And they have a nice veranda you can sit out on. We, of course, took our lunch and got a bottle of their, I can't remember what it was exactly. It was their, no, it wasn't their Chardonnay. It was like their table white. I forget what the name is. But so we had a bottle of that, and we sat on the veranda and ate our lunch. And there was a cute dog there. I guess it was like the dog that belongs to the owners of the winery, because this dog was just, like meandering around and looking to see if we would give him some food and stuff. Of course, we didn't. So it was a really relaxing time. And then, we looked at our watches and say, oh, shit, we need to get moving, because we're never going to get to the other three wineries because we've spent all of our time at this first one. But it was really nice. And the landscaping was beautiful. And it was like right at the foot of the mountains out there. It was really nice. So then we thought, okay, now we've been spoiled with this one really great winery. The next one surely can't live up to this. So the next one we went to was called Breaux, Breaux. And as we're pulling up, it's like, oh my God, look at this facility. It, although I've never been to Napa, it reminded me of a winery that would be in Napa, in the Napa Valley, because it had like rolling hills, and all the vineyards were planted on these rolling hills, and there was a road that was cutting right through them, and they had this big iron gate at the entrance, and the building was beautiful. It was like a stucco type building, but it looked like it would be right out of Napa. So the facility as we were driving up was absolutely beautiful. So, and then we had a tasting, and again, the wines were delicious. They were all nice, dry wines. None of that overly sweet wine that, that we were tired of tasting. So, especially after Thursday, because all those on Thursday were really sweet. Now, I like sweet wines, but I've really grown accustomed to these drier wines. So we enjoyed that. And there, because the facility was so nice, the wines were so good, and it was cool, we decided we'd get a glass of their Merlot and sit down and have some chocolates with our Merlot, and that was really good. It was really fun. But then, of course, the time's getting by, and we're like, damn, we're never going to make it to all four of these wineries. So we decided we need to get on the road, so we went on to the third one, and the third one is called Hillsboro. And we said, again, as we were driving and everything, okay, now surely just by this name, Hillsboro, this is not going to be a very good winery. This is going to be one of those, just like on Thursday, that we did not enjoy. But we pulled up, and sure enough, they had their vineyards were planted on the hills, and they had a nice, probably like a 1800 style house, and a really nice tasting room, with a bar that goes like all the way across the room, so plenty of space for lots of people to do their tasting. But there was only like one other couple there, well, straight couple I should say, and all their wines were good too. Not as good as the first two, but they were definitely good wines. So, of course, we bought a bottle there, but we did not stay long enough to, get a glass and sit out on there. They had a really nice patio area where you could have easily you know, enjoyed a lunch with a glass of wine, or even a bottle of wine for that matter. But we didn't. We said this will be one we'll have to come back to, because all the wineries that are open on the weekends are only open till 5. So, and by this time it was like 4 o'clock. Well, actually, it was more like 4:20, and and the other one was a good 20 minutes away. So we said, okay, well, thanks, you know, we got our, you know, paid for our wine and stuff, and got on the road and went to the last one, which was called Loudoun Valley. And this one was probably the least favorite of the four. Only because, their facility was like a building that was like built from the 70s. It had odd angles and big windows that, you know, didn't open. And it was just, I didn't care for the facility. But it looked like they were building a new building on the property. So maybe they're planning to improve. And this was actually also a younger winery. I don't think they've been open maybe 3 or 4 years. But, their wines were okay. They had a few that didn't live up to our expectations. When you read a little description on your tasting card, you expect the wine to taste a certain way, and two of them really weren't up to that level. And, of course, by the time we got there, it was like 10 of 5, and we were the last people in the door. But yet we stayed until, like, I don't know, 5:45 or so almost an hour. And the people were just talking to us and asking us about where we had been and all this stuff. And we told them about how we are working our way through as many of the wineries as we can get through in the state of Virginia for the summer. And we told them about, because in a couple of weeks the boyfriend and I are going to go down to Charlottesville, Virginia, and visit 9 wineries over 3 days' time. I've got it all mapped out and stuff, so that should be fun. So anyway, all day today we spent at the wineries, and when we got back to my place, we were just dead tired. And we laid down to take a nap. When we woke up, it was like 9:30. And I was like, okay, you're either spending the night or you're going home, so make up your mind. So the boyfriend was like, I've got things to do, and you've got things to do. So he left last night probably around 10 o'clock or so. And because I really did, I had to get up this morning and get some errands done. So I'm going to go do my errands in just a couple minutes. I thought I'd get the podcast done first, though. So it was an extremely busy weekend, and I was just so tired. And I think I ran my dishwasher like 3 times and cleaned and everything. It's just, so busy. And I actually had planned, I had planned to take a class this week, but I decided to drop it. So I called on Friday and dropped the class because I didn't want to be sitting in class one of my last weeks of summer when I could be doing other things like visiting wineries, which is something I like to do. I was going to talk about some TV, too, because Big Brother was on Saturday night, and Howie had to make his nominations for eviction. And he was going back and forth, and he was talking to so many people, and He was totally fucking it up, because he should have nominated Maggie and April. But he made like deals with them where he wouldn't be put up on the block if he didn't put them up for nomination. Well, what he doesn't realize is that next week Eric could come back into the house and totally screw him. Even though Maggie promised that Eric would follow the deal that they made, he could still come back and screw him totally. He doesn't have to follow that because he's not the one who made the rule. Made the deal. So anyway, Howie decided to put up James and Sarah. And again, I love the way James looks. He is just such a hottie. But oh my God, he's such a fucking asshole. He was playing both sides of the crowd again, which is, well, kind of, but it is time for him to go, because he's now slid by 2 weeks in a row, so it's time for him to go. But then again, he could win the veto and stay in the house. So that was Big Brother recap or whatever. And I have probably like 6 hours of shows to watch on the DVR, so I need to get busy and start watching those, because I know I have the final show of Queer as Folk, which I should have watched it today. Oh, I'll watch it later this afternoon, that's for sure. And I have 6 Feet Under, and then that new show, Weeds, which came on right after Queer as Folk. I went ahead and recorded that. I also record a special about the, is it the 60th? Yeah, I guess the 60th anniversary of the atomic bomb being dropped on Hiroshima. So I really want to watch that because I like that historical kind of thing. And I did get up early this morning. Well, I didn't get up. I set the DVR to record the space shuttle, so I haven't watched it, so I hope nothing happened. Of course, I haven't watched the news yet either. It's awfully early in the morning, so we'll see. That's probably why I'm so tired. What else did I record? I don't remember. I have a list of stuff to record. Actually, a list of stuff to watch on the DVR that I recorded. So I have that to do, too. And let's see. I'm going to... Oh, the boyfriend and I are going to go to wineries again on Wednesday. We're going to... I forget how many we're going to visit on Wednesday. I think just three. So that's coming up. God, I'm so tired. I'm like talking like a zombie. All right. Well, I think I've talked enough. So this was one of those boring podcasts where I just talk about my day. I know that content is king when it comes to podcasting. So this content sucked today. And, you know, that's sometimes that's what happens. You just get shit. However, this evening I do have an interview lined up with Mike Hip of the Hip Perspective. I'm going to record our Skype call and hopefully have that ready for tomorrow's show, because I want to ask him all about how he, you know, how he first heard about podcasting and how he's chosen the podcast that he likes to listen to and review. Because, you know, he runs the Hip Perspective at, I think it's hipperspective.blogspot.com. And he writes about kind of like summaries of different podcasts of what they talked about. So I'm going to Skype with him tonight, and I will have that out for tomorrow's show. So that'll be much better content for those of you who are content, you know, what's the word I'm thinking of? People who really crave content. So that will be one to listen to. So, yeah. And Peter's right. Now that it's August, I said I was going to have longer shows. So this one's a little bit longer, but you're right, Peter. I will have longer shows, but they're going to be boring, like this one, because I'm so ordinary. Yeah. Okay, but I do think we're going to end this one now. So thanks for all the email. I did get a lot of email. I should check the email. Let's see. I got an email from Mike Hip, from DJ Come of Age, from Peter, from David, from Tigger. Tigger was telling me he's got his own website. And Peter in, Patrick out in, who runs the Bad Weeds San Francisco. And let's see. I guess that's all I got. Yeah, that's about... Oh, of course, Homer. Poor Homer. Oh, I should talk about Homer for a minute. I have been out of communication with Homer. He's called 3 times in 3 days. And either I haven't been home or I was having the dinner party and he called, so I didn't answer the phone. But, Homer, I will call you today or I'll talk to you sometime today, I'm sure. I'm sorry I didn't get back to you. Yeah. So, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, thanks for all the email and the comments. I don't know if you checked out the comments on the website, but Mike Hip went crazy with the comments on Friday, leaving all those comments about the Rufus show. Okay, I think that's all for now, boys and girls. Tomorrow's show, I promise, will be so much better, because I'm so tired, and I'm sounding like I'm so tired. Okay, so until tomorrow, boys and girls... Bye.
You've been listening to Archer Radio.